that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
When I saw this short, fat guy stretch a band between his toes, hey, I laughed so hard, cause the band got down when it finally reached his nose. Whoa, whoa.
Hey, y'all, prepare yourself for the rubber band.
Whoa, whoa.
Band. You never heard a sound like the rubber band.
Man,
you're bound to lose control when the rubber band starts to jam.
Got that rubber band up on his toes, and then he wriggled it up.
Rarely do failed mutineers receive a hero's departure. But residents cheered Wagner's soldiers as they left the Russian city of Rostov late last night. Come back alive and take care of yourselves, shouted people in the crowd. The mercenary group's leader, Yevgeny Prigozhin, smiled and posed for selfies on his way out. Some greeted the returning Russian authorities less warmly, with jeers and insults.
Y'all come back now, you hear? You know, that's kind of, I think, how the locals are responding. This is a crazy story. I don't know how much you paid attention to this over the weekend. It was kind of like, it was in all the news, but it was all the, like, you know, eat your Brussels sprouts and your lima beans news. You know, it wasn't, you know, particularly, I don't know, captivating a lot, unless you're into, like, international affairs, in which you're thinking, oh my God, we're about to have a coup in Russia. And then all of a sudden, you know, just kidding. You know, like the guy unplugging the landing strip lights in airplane is, you know, like, you thought for a minute, you know, literally within 24 hours, you thought, oh my God, Vladimir Putin is going to get deposed. He's going to get executed. We're going to have this, you know, I mean, I guess first world thug dictator, mafioso arms dealer. I mean, all of these words apply. We're going to have, you know, somebody else is going to take over Russia. And like, oh, but he's really bad. We don't want him. Can't we get somebody else to take over Russia?
For 24 hours, the world watched Wagner forces inch closer to Moscow. Updates of their advance splashed across social media. The Russian military secured the capital, soldiers deployed on the streets, and heavy equipment ripped up roads leading to the city.
You wonder how serious this was? That last part. The video of heavy machinery destroying their own interstate highways to prevent the tanks of the Wagner group from being able to get to Moscow. Like, that's where this got to, is they were so concerned that this group was going to march into Moscow that they started destroying their own highways. Because, you know, without highways, tanks don't move as well. Like, that's where this got. This wasn't a, oh, hey, guys, why don't you turn around? Oh, okay. I mean, this is really amazing that they got to within 120 miles of Russia, or of Moscow, going north, and, you know, then they just kind of stopped. And we don't really know why they stopped exactly.
And with Wagner troops just 124 miles from Moscow, the Kremlin spokesman announced a deal. Wagner troops would be pardoned and returned to their bases. Criminal charges against Prigozhin would be dropped, and he'd go into exile in Belarus, whose leader brokered the agreement.
All right, it's all over, all. Go home. We'll call you up again next year for the exercise. So if you didn't hear very much, Face the Nation, CBS on Face the Nation, did a really good kind of summary of who this guy is, what the Wagner group is, you know, what they're known for.
It was during Russia's first invasion of Ukraine in 2014 that Prigozhin made the leap from Putin chef to warlord, running an off-the-books mercenary group. Wagner soldiers started showing up in Syria, then across Africa, and while his hired guns deal in death, Prigozhin makes his money by plundering natural resources in places like the mineral-rich Central African Republic, or CAR. In exchange, Wagner provides the mercenary muscle to prop up the country's leader, even guarding the president. What Wagner doesn't say is that they effectively run this nation through violence and a galaxy of shell companies.
I mean, he's an international thug. There's no other way to describe it in terms of the places he operates, what he does, who he recruits, you know, and until recently he was kind of a, well, we think this is who this is, you know, I mean, intelligence sources I'm sure knew, but, you know, not really out in the open as a public figure.
Now, this model is repeated across Africa, allowing Prigozhin to evade sanctions and rake in billions to fund what the U.S. has called a transnational criminal organization, as well as his private army in Ukraine. Until recently, Prigozhin vigorously denied any links to Wagner, but stepped out of the shadows last year, recruiting prisoners from Russian penal colonies in exchange for pardon, and at salaries far higher than any regular Kremlin soldiers.
So he pays them a lot to come out of jail and go work for him in Central Africa and maintain peace in destabilized areas where he can rape and pillage the land for its natural resources. Now, when you think about it that way, you probably think, oh, maybe not so much better than Putin. You know, like that would be the guy that's in control of the nukes if he had succeeded. If, you know, full-blown coup had been the goal, we still, like, think or not, at least I don't even know exactly what the goal was. You know, it was kind of a grievance list. He says that the Russian regulars attacked, you know, either by mistake or on purpose, his own people and killed them, even though he's one of the guys, his forces were one of the ones that gave the only big successes in the Ukraine war to Putin. Now he's challenging the narrative of all of the justifications for the Ukraine war, openly and publicly saying that all of the stuff that Putin's been saying is a bunch of nonsense, which is what the West has been saying since the beginning. But, you know, the important part is to the people inside of Russia who might hear this. So the change of fortunes over the last year and a half related to Ukraine, Russia, Putin's power has been dramatic. Tony Blinken on Face the Nation.
Just step back for a second and put this in context. 16 months ago, Russian forces were on the doorstep of Kyiv in Ukraine, thinking they'd take the city in a matter of days, thinking they would erase Ukraine from the map as an independent country. Now, over this weekend, they've had to defend Moscow, Russia's capital, against mercenaries of Putin's own making.
Yeah, I mean, the Wagner Group got to within the same kind of perimeter distance of Moscow as the Russians got to Kyiv before they got stalled out on supply chain and logistics issues and, you know, mud in the tracks and didn't know the streets and then started getting beaten up really bad by the Ukrainians. But you remember, early on in the war, I mean, it looked like Russia was just going to sweep over Ukraine. And then just kind of all of a sudden that got stopped. And then they've been they pushed them back a lot. And then they've been battling over the east. Well, now you've got insurrectionists within Russia, you know, that have been fighting the war in Ukraine. OK, but, you know, insurrectionist mercenaries going and driving towards Moscow, raising real questions about, you know, the foundations of the war, the legitimacy of the Putin regime, and, of course, raising questions in the West about, you know, they got a lot of nukes, right, in Russia. Are we sure that those are safe?
Is the U.S. prepared for the potential of the fall of the Putin government, and is their nuclear stockpile, the largest in the world, secure?
We always prepare for every contingency.
By the way, can I say this? That is not a good answer. And that's not the whole answer. Okay, I didn't stop there, but that is not a good answer. We always prepare for every contingency. That's not what she asked. She asked if they're secure. And his answer is,
we always prepare for every contingency.
No. okay.
In terms of what happens in Russia, it's an internal matter for the Russians to figure out. Of course, when we're dealing with a major power, and especially a major power that has nuclear weapons, that's something that's of concern, something we're very focused on. We haven't seen any change in Russia's nuclear posture. There hasn't been any change in ours, but it's something we're going to watch very, very carefully.
That's of concern. We're paying attention. These are also not very reassuring answers. The last part, somewhat, is there's been no change in posture for the Russians. That's good. That means that when it comes to nuclear weapons, there's, you know, we haven't seen any difference. And that's okay. That's encouraging. Also the question,
do you know the whereabouts of Vladimir Putin right now? Is he in Moscow?
I don't want to speculate on that or what information that we have. Again, we're watching that carefully.
I would think, you know, well, we're watching. We'll let you know when we know something or not, because we're also not saying a lot. But so to sum up, we think the nukes are safe. We suspect Putin is still in control. Seems likely. We're not really sure why this got called off, but he did make a deal to go to Belarus and, you know, live in exile from Russia. I suppose we don't really know whether this was all coordinated by Putin somehow or other. We just, you know, a lot of open questions. But I think that the one takeaway that all of the, you know, talking head type experts, analysts said yesterday was the very minimum thing this does is dramatically undermine the confidence that people in Russia or out of Russia have that the Putin regime is stable. You know, you don't make a deal with a guy who commits mutiny or attempts to commit mutiny. You don't make a deal to basically pay him off, send him out of the country, protect his guys, hire some of them back into your army, unless you have to. Right? That's not the way typically you would think of an autocrat like Putin behaving. So he didn't do this because, you know, they shook on it and drank some, you know, strong tea and made nice. It's because he felt like he had to do that. Well, the fact that he felt like he had to do that should tell you something about his relative weakness compared to what he was able to say, you know, a week ago. So what does this all mean going forward? Well, you know, I'm going to take Tony Blinken's approach. We'll watch it. We'll see. Could others try the same thing? Yeah, of course, sure. Could this be the beginning of the end for Putin? Well, yeah, of course, sure. Could this be nothing but, you know, a road bump for Putin? I mean, yeah, of course, sure. We'll see. 521 on News Radio 92.3. Also, storms this morning. Now, most of the storming has just about passed through our area. It's like out on the beach right now in basically Santa Rosa County. And, you know, it's all over Okaloosa. The heavy stuff is out on the water over, you know, southwest of Panama City right now. And I don't see on my News Radio ThreatNet radar, I don't see any big stuff coming. I see another little system that's over Jackson this morning that's heading kind of, I take it back. I see there's a medium-sized system, little system over Jackson, but coming over the north of Louisiana, the south of Arkansas, is kind of another stretch of storms. So not clear yet whether that's going to be to us or be to our, like, our west and go to Mobile, but to our vicinity maybe in a couple of hours. So, yeah, once again, you know, we have, look, it's summer and, you know, it's hot. There are heat advisories, and, you know, even if there's not an official heat advisory, very hot, very humid, the heat index pushing over 100 degrees. So not the day to be out just discovering what it's like to mow the lawn at 4 o'clock today. All right. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Wake up, people. You are optimizing every waking hour of your life. From carpooling kids, to work, to friends, and everything in between. You have to get sleep. And a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements. Learning how you sleep, so you learn to sleep better. Night after night. Sleep next level. Only from Sleep Number. The Queen Sleep Number 360 C2 Smart Bed is now only $899. Plus special financing. Ends Monday. See store for details.
Cannell and Company Realty is proud to be a sponsor of the Blue Angels Air Show. Locally owned and operated, they're now celebrating 40-plus years in business, selling homes to generations of families that they've worked with during those years. Whether you're buying or selling, Cannell and Company Realty has the marketing savvy to get the job done with no add-on costs and never a franchise or administration fee. Cannell and Company Realty, friendly, dedicated, full-time realtors. 2107 Airport Boulevard. Like them on Facebook.
When I can't sleep, my mind just races. I think about work, the kids, but I don't think about taking melatonin because I'm afraid I'll feel groggy in the morning.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies has an optimal dose of melatonin for no next day grogginess, so you can fall asleep naturally and wake up feeling refreshed. ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies for better sleep like never before. And try Pure Z's Sleep plus Next Day Energy with melatonin plus extended release B vitamins.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV.
everything.
Good morning, 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I just got a note in from our good news partners at Channel 3 that...
Hold on, it's my time to show.
Oh, all right. You going to tell them the story?
I'm just kidding. No, Highway 297 at Pinecone is closed. There's a tree in the roadway, right?
Tree down on the power lines.
Oh, gosh.
Same thing. In either way, it's not... No, you can't use it right now. Highway 297 at Pinecone Drive is shut down because of some kind of a tree incident with the power lines. 524, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Coast Guard now launching a formal investigation into the implosion of the Titan submersible. That investigation was announced yesterday during a news conference in Boston. It'll be led by Captain Jason Neubauer. And they say they're currently in the evidence collection phase. Three people were found dead in a home in Massachusetts after a stabbing attack. Police say they responded there Sunday and discovered elderly victims, and there were signs of forced entry. And Brittany Griner named as a starter for the WNBA's upcoming All-Star game. They made that announcement yesterday, giving Griner the ninth All-Star nod of her career. And that includes last year when she was an honorary All-Star by the WNBA.
Interesting. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. All I know is that the Cardinals beat the Cubs yesterday in London, 7-5. Woohoo! We won't talk about what happened Saturday. two-game series. They do this every year now, where a couple of teams go over there and play. And on Saturday, it was the game that was on Fox. And I got to actually watch a 7-1. I don't know. Some team from North Chicago won that one. So we split, you know, whatever. Yeah, I know. It's not, it has not been the most fun year to be a Cardinals fan. I'll just put it that way. Last place. These are not words you're accustomed to saying, but, you know, okay. 826 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Just kind of an odd story. I don't really know what to make of it, except that it was kind of one of these, the what now? So I guess when companies have these, like, trucks like, you know, FedEx or UPS or anybody that has, or Amazon, I guess, you know, they drive these trucks and then you can either use them for the usable life and then scrap them, or you can resell them. Makes sense, right? The two things you could do. Well, you know, it used to be that apparently FedEx, according to a an accusation made against FedEx, is that they used to just, you know, ditch them basically after 350,000 miles. But then, about a decade ago, they stopped scrapping them and they started sending them to auto auctions, which in and of itself, no big deal. The problem is that the allegation is that they would replace the odometers before they sent them to the auction. So the trucks being resold with, you know, 350,000-400,000 miles on them would say 180,000 miles, which is kind of a difference. That's kind of a lot. And when you think about the total number of trucks that they are operating through and then reselling later on or selling off to auctions, that's an awful lot of fraud is the allegation. You know, there was a guy here, it says that he, you know, basically he bought a truck at an auction in 2017 and discovered, you know, it was 180,000 on the odometer, but when he hooked it up to the computer, it said 400,000. So... kind of just like I said, an odd little story. It's a fraud scheme that the estimate is that it's worth about $1 billion a year's worth of fraud to somebody. So we'll see. We'll see what actually comes of it. But I just thought it was kind of like, oh, I'd never even thought about that. But one more reason why, if you're going to buy a used thing, you know, I think of this more for cars, but, you know, a used vehicle inspection from a mechanic you trust. Every once in a while I tell the story, but I was on the verge of buying a sweet deal, Civic. Like, oh man, this is a smoking hot deal. And I couldn't figure out why the airbag light didn't work right. You would think that. And they were like, oh, it's no big deal. And then he just took out the fuse. I'm like, what? So I took it to my mechanic. He's like, oh yeah, this car's been in a wreck. This car's had its airbags deployed. This car has not had its airbags replaced. That's why it's so cheap. I said, good, good. How does that happen? He said, oh, well, they wrecked it in Texas. This is when I lived in Arizona. They wrecked it in Texas. They salvaged title, bought it in Texas. They drove it back to Arizona. They registered it without declaring the salvage title. And they registered it as a Civic in Arizona. I said, now, surely that's illegal. He said, you know, so I did some digging. And I'm like, surely this is illegal, you know? Well, if it's illegal, surely somebody's overseeing this. Nope. Like, I was to the point where at the time I was calling, like, the Division of Motor Vehicles in Texas and Arizona, and I'm trying to ask, like, who's responsible to make sure this doesn't happen more often? Nobody. Nobody cared. Nobody wanted to know. Nobody, you know, they're like, well, yeah, we know it happens, but, you know, what are we going to do? Like, I don't know. Your jobs? So, just this is what I'm telling you. Get a used vehicle inspection. A used vehicle inspection saved possibly my family's lives because we would have been buying a car that I drive them around in all the time that might not have had airbags, unbeknownst to me. That's why you get a used vehicle inspection, because you never know. Now, one of the things, you know, about going to Frontier is that they will stand by their vehicles. They'll do you a Carfax, and they'll take care of you. And, you know, they certainly don't engage in this kind of behavior. What they do is they only sell A-quality cars, cars that are 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition. But, you know, if you're going to buy from somebody else, you know, do a used vehicle inspection. You know, and also, by the way, you can get a Carfax done for free if you go to take it to Frontier, or just bring in the VIN to Frontier. You don't even have to go there. So I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to go to somebody on a corner or out of Facebook Marketplace or something like that, do your homework. And one of the things you can do is get a free Carfax from Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. It's a day off from work, but security restrictions are lifted in Moscow. There were threats of a march and armed insurrection led by the head of mercenaries fighting for Russia in Ukraine, Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
We see cracks emerging. Where they go, if anywhere, when they get there, very hard to say. I don't want to speculate on it. But I don't think we've seen the final act.
He was on ABC's This Week. The Coast Guard is leading the investigation into why a tourist sub imploded, killing five people last Sunday during a dive to the Titanic.
My primary goal is to prevent a similar occurrence by making the necessary recommendations to enhance the safety of the maritime domain worldwide.
Coast Guard Captain Jason Neubauer says work is ongoing to recover debris and possibly human remains. Canadian, French, and British investigators are involved as well. Canadian police are looking into whether there should be criminal charges. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 74 right now. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola. A 72-year-old motorcyclist recovering now after a crash on Perdido Key Drive yesterday. Florida Highway Patrol says the biker was rear-ended by a 16-year-old McDavid girl. The teen reportedly couldn't stop in time when traffic slowed, hit the biker that pushed him into the back of another vehicle. The motorcyclist was wearing protective gear and ended up being flown to the hospital with serious but non-life-threatening injuries. The teen was charged with careless driving for the crash. A 23-year-old man from Baldwin County is facing public indecency charges after allegedly pleasuring himself in retail stores around the area. Marcus McKillian was first arrested in May, but authorities say after they investigated, they found there were several prior incidents. And investigators say they downloaded the contents of McKillian's phone, found several videos that he filmed in area retail stores where he was committing sexual acts in front of unsuspecting victims. Police say to make matters worse, he was selling those videos to online porn websites. It was a deadly weekend along beaches in northwest Florida. A total of five people drowned. There were a couple of drownings in Walton County, three more in Panama City. Officials say there were either red or double red flags flying at the time of those drownings. Avondale Park in the Bellevue neighborhood is a little bit nicer today. It was the recipient of a good cleaning over the weekend. The cleaning event was organized by employees at Levin Rinke Realty. They say they noticed glass and trash at the park, so they decided to clean it up. They held a cleaning event over the weekend, and more than 4 pounds of glass was removed. Governor DeSantis expected to unveil his plan to, in his own words, stop the invasion at the southern border. Fox News says that Governor DeSantis will be in Texas today to share details of his immigration policy. In a video released before the announcement, he says he'll secure the border, stop the cartels, build the wall, and stop the invasion. Port Miami getting back to normal today after a deadly collision. The Coast Guard closed the port over the weekend after a boat crashed into the Fisher Island Ferry near Miami Beach. The 30-foot boat sank in the North Channel. One man died. Another was taken to the hospital in serious condition. But the port has now reopened, and the boat was recovered. It is 534, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Very hot and humid today with those morning storms passing. High near 94 degrees. Low tonight near 79 degrees. As you go into Tuesday, the heat continues with highs in the mid-90s, feeling much warmer in the triple digits. 30% chance of rain on Tuesday. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 79. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
74 in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, 71 in Milton, with rain reported across the area. It is 5:34. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. For almost a decade, I've been telling you about my friends at Frontier Motors in Pensacola. The biggest reason is they help my listeners save thousands of dollars when purchasing a slightly used car over a brand new one. Consumer Reports says the average new car depreciates a whopping $9,200 in the first year alone. That's crazy. So if you're thinking new, don't. Go see Frontier Motors and see how much they can save you on a current year car with very low miles. And if your goal is to get out of debt, bring Frontier Motors your car and they can write you a check on the spot. Frontier Motors can also do consignments and they don't charge a fee or a commission. Frontier Motors have been helping the people in the Pensacola area for 21 years. They are the go-to dealer for free advice when it comes to buying or selling a car. Please go see my friends at Frontier Motors. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey sent you.
Dale's Marine Construction is passionate about creating waterfront structures and shoreline protections. Whether it's a small individual project or a large-scale corporate design, Dale's Marine works hard to help you create a plan that satisfies your needs or wants for the space. From small residential docks and piers to large marinas and seawalls, Dale's Marine, licensed and insured in Santa Rosa and Escambia County, the area's leader and expert in marine construction for over 30 years and proud sponsor of the Blue Angels.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, is every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy sunsets with your favorite bands. This week, it's Mass Confusion. They'll take the stage with classic rock, Motown, smooth jazz, funk, country, and oldies in a style all their own. Grab a blanket or a lawn chair, but please, no pets or glass. And we'll see you at Bands on the Beach this Tuesday at 7.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Enjoy the music. Oh, yeah. You know,
here comes the big one. Oh, yeah.
They just don't make TV like they used to.
Thank God. Dude, that show is very... He is hateful.
Yeah, but it was entertaining because he was making fun of the hateful old man. You know, that's why.
I got a Red Fox story.
And oh, I bet you do. All right. 5:38 on News Radio 92.3. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. On Friday, we talked to the ECUA Executive Director, our good friend Bruce Woody. Bruce, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good.
Appreciate your intro music.
Thank you. You're so welcome.
50 Chevy anymore.
Elizabeth, I'm coming to meet you. All right. So obviously the big news of the last week or two is that you guys have officially, fully restarted the recycling collection and processing, right?
Correct. The MRF is open as of Monday, June the 12th. So we're up and running. All of our partners are contributing, and we're back up to full speed.
So the materials recycling facility is running, and contamination is at 0%. Everybody's doing their job.
I wish that were the case. Actually, our biggest challenges at the MRF are exactly that, contamination. Ideally, contamination should be down around 20%. They say nationally, though, it's been going up across the United States. It's at least 25% or higher in most locations. Locally here, though, it's actually close to 50%, somewhere in the 45 to 50% range. If you can imagine trying to sort through and find recyclables amid things that really, you know, garbage and trash that should be going into the other can, that creates hardships and gums up equipment and creates all kinds of expenses that really defeat, you know, our goals of trying to provide a efficient and cost-effective option for recyclables in our community.
I'm assuming, especially because I know I've heard Vicki Campbell actually say this, that if you can't recycle correctly, we'd rather just have you not recycle. True? It's more costly to have people recycle badly than to just have them throw it all into the main bin and send it to the landfill.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, we're having discussions right now amongst our board as we're reviewing plans for our FY24 budget to maybe even change our rate schedule such that it helps financially incentivize participation in recycling as opposed to trash service in order to try to keep the correct materials in the correct can.
Okay, so I don't know if you're prepared to answer this question because I imagine it would take some number crunching, but when we first started recycling, the theory was it's cost avoidance. We don't have to pay the tipping fee at the landfill because we're taking it to the recycling facility, A. B, recycling at that time, you know, China and other places were buying so much of it that we could actually make some money. This might actually more than break even and save the cost of going to the landfill, but actually revenue positive. My understanding is we've definitely shifted out of the revenue positive category, and now we're sort of jeopardizing even the question of whether we're sufficiently doing cost avoidance in order to make the program pay for itself. If you knew everything you know right now about current habits of recycling in our area and all of the costs and all of the labor and everything associated with all of it, would you start recycling at ECUA, or would you just say, you know what, it's better to just go to the landfill?
It depends whether you're taking a business perspective or a public service perspective. If there was money to be made in recycling, the private sector would be out there providing those services.
That's a great point.
But the only time you see the private sector are things that are of higher value, such as aluminum recycling, in some cases steel recycling as well. The much more difficult markets, glass, even paper and cardboard nowadays, and mixed paper, et cetera, and plastics just aren't bringing to market what they used to. There was, over the course of our history, there's probably been one, maybe 2 years where we made more revenue than we did expenses. But environmentally, it's the right thing to do. It reduces volumes going into our landfill, makes our landfill last longer. There's all kinds of public policy reasons why it's a good thing to do. That's the reason that there's so many recycling facilities across the United States. Although in our region, the nearest one to the east is Tallahassee. There to the west is New Orleans and Baton Rouge. And to the north, you have to go halfway up the state in Alabama to find the next recycling.
We all know that there's these really outrageous things that people put in their recycling. I have a theory about recycling, and I want you to tell me if I got this right or not. I have a combined theory about why people are bad at recycling. Part of it is they just don't know the rules. You know, they don't know not to put the greasy cardboard from the pizza box in there. You know, they don't know you can't put styrofoam in there, okay? And, I mean, some of this is unclear, right? They feel like cardboard, yes, okay, but what about cereal boxes or, you know, six packs for beer or beer cases? What about that kind of plasticated cardboard and or office paper? You know, they're not sure, and they don't know which of those things to put in. That's sort of part one. But the other part is, I think, you know, Candy actually told me this term, I'd never heard it before, is they're wish cycling. which is there's a kind of satisfaction in believing that you're helping the planet or doing something noble and virtuous. And so when you put things into the recycling, it feels good. When you put things into the trash, it feels bad. And so people, combined with an ignorance of what can be recycled, hope that they're doing it right. And so they put more stuff in the recycling because it feels good to wish cycle. Am I on the right track in understanding why this is a problem?
Yes, that is very well stated. Now, there are other extremes as well where literally garbage, food waste, and things like that are put into the recycling cans as well as those recyclables. They're obviously just using it as a trash can. Those are the most egregious examples. But yes, for the other folks who have very good intentions, they'll throw away a electrical extension cord, thinking, well, it's plastic on the outside and copper on the inside. Hopefully that ought to be something to be recycled. Really what that does is tangle up in the mechanical equipment that's used to separate materials and can cause the whole system to have to shut down for half an hour while we get that cleaned out.
And that's a cost,
you really think public needs to think more in terms of things that are already separate items. If you're throwing away an item that has a mixture of two things, like cardboard that has a plastic liner or a wax coating on the inside, that's not good.
So the cereal boxes and the six-pack containers are no good?
Well, a cereal box is okay. It's a form of cardboard.
Okay.
Those are okay. But if it's something that has, like a cardboard box that contains vegetables and therefore has a wax coating on the inside, that's not good.
Got it. Okay.
But even the pizza box, if it doesn't have food and it's not too heavily stained, we can take some of that. That's not a problem.
Okay.
Because as a percentage of overall, it's okay.
No, that's all helpful. And I think that's, I know you guys have the Recycle Coach app and, trying to educate people all the time. And, when people don't do this properly, it costs us all and sort of in the long run jeopardizes the program. I mean, you had to shut down recycling for a variety of reasons. And, that's certainly one of them. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, when I was driving at the landfill the other day, I was returning some old gas and dropping that off, not at your facility, but at the landfill. They have a place for that. I drove, of course, around the materials recycling facility to get there. An enormous, and this was only 2 days after the storm, or like a day after the storm, really on Saturday, there was an enormous amount of yard waste, tree limbs, and that kind of stuff. I assume that problem has gotten much worse over the intervening week.
I suspect so. That's only the materials that get brought to the county's landfill by outside vendors, tree services, and individual customers who bring it on their own trailers and trucks.
Okay.
What gets picked up by ECUA at the curb goes to a different location. That's where we have our composting facility, and we grind that yard waste, add sludge to it, and turn it into a compost product that we then turn around and sell. But we recently had a tornado hit the coast, predominantly affected those folks in District 2. And so there is an inordinate amount of yard waste right now at the curb. So I certainly appreciate everybody's understanding that it's going to take us more time due to the increased volumes. We're bringing in extra crews on Saturday and Monday as well to help us get caught up. If you'll give us a little bit of patience while we do that.
Okay, well, that's good news. And that's an expense, but that's part of cleanup, right, is taking care of that. And as you say, that all goes to the facility in the Cantonment area where you can do the actual composting, which, of course, is also available for people to use. It just takes a little bit of time to make. But, yeah, that's available, too. Last thing, and we just want to kind of remind people, coming up July 1st, you're no longer collecting bulk waste automatically. It's still free. It's still on your schedule. You just need to call and let you guys – they need to call and let you guys know they've got something to pick up, right?
Yes. It's important for us to be financially efficient with our services. Cost of fuel, cost of equipment, et cetera, has gone up. So in order to do a better job of that bulk waste program, again, it's still free. Again, it still has the same limitations as being a 6x6x6 pile. We're asking, however, that you call us and let us know that you have a bulk waste pickup at least by 2 p.m. the day before. You can call several days in advance, but no later than 2 p.m. the day before of your regular collection, and identify which items are going to be picked up, because we'll only pick up those items that you've told us want to be picked up. We don't want to accidentally pick up a kid's bicycle or something that's parked
right.
nearby. And then we'll make that pickup. If you have items that you might normally put out for bulk, such as appliances that go on the kitchen counter, if they'll fit in your regular trash can, please do that and put it in the regular trash can. We're trying to reduce the volumes that we have to pick up at the curb for financial efficiency.
Very good. Well, the regular meeting for the ECUA board is going to be next Tuesday. You can attend if you're interested and find the agenda online. Bruce Woody is the executive director for ECUA. Bruce, as always, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for the information. Is that right, Tuesday, or is it Wednesday? Now, all of a sudden, I've said it out loud, and I hope I'm not wrong.
Those meetings are always on Tuesday.
On Tuesday. Okay, good. Bruce Woody, executive director for ECUA, takes care of the sewers, takes care of the water, takes care of the trash and the recycling and the yard waste. Bruce, I appreciate all of that work and the fine work that your folks do. Thanks for the time this morning. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
So, Candy, would it? I'm going to say something that's going to make it's going to make me look dumb, but I don't mind saying it because it's the kind of thing where you're like, oh, some people are going to be like, and some people are going to be like, no way, you believe that? It was not until I lived here and started doing interviews on ECUA and other matters that I knew there was a difference between storm drains and sewers.
I guess I never really thought about it, but
if you flush your toilet,
absolutely,
that goes through a whole different system than if there's water flowing in your yard down the gutter into the drain in the street. And just for whatever reason, the distinction was not one that as soon as you think about it, you're like, oh, I guess that does have to be different, right? Because the one goes to the river,
sure.
The other one goes to the treatment plant. But a lot of people don't understand that. And I think there's a lot of people who think that, well, if I put it down the storm drain, that just goes to the treatment plant. They don't think that goes into the water. You know what I mean? Like, just a small note for the few people maybe in the audience who did not know that. It's okay to not know stuff. Now you know, and as we learned.
I live with the plumber, so I get lectured all the time. Okay. It's like your son knowing about tanks is my husband in the sewer.
I gotcha. And knowing is half the battle.
It is.
That's the most important thing to understand about this story. Real American Hero. 437-1620. If you're thinking about buying or selling a house, you want a good expert on your side to help you navigate any of the pitfalls that come up. Make sure you're getting the right price in both directions. And just, knowing stuff like, what can I do that might only cost me $100 but might get me $1,000 on the price of the house? Like that kind of stuff. You know, whether it's staging, whether it's repainting, whether it's taking out a bush that interferes with the curb appeal of that house. Like that kind of stuff. Christina Leavenworth knows that stuff cold, like in her sleep. And when she looks at your house, having sold 230 homes last year, she'll be like, can we fix this and this? Because it'll really help you quite a bit. Or no, don't change that. It's perfect. Just leave it the way it is. Like, you want somebody who really knows how to give you advice on those subjects. And that's Christina Leavenworth. She's got a great team that also helps her out quite a bit. So find out what she can do and what they can do for you buying or selling. 723-9158, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
Hurricane season is here. Millions of people live in hurricane evacuation zones in Florida. This means that if an evacuation needs to happen, a lot of people need to get on the road. But if you're halfway full, you're halfway there. Keeping your gas tank at least half full during hurricane season ensures you won't have to wait in long lines to get gas when it's time to go. And you don't have to travel hundreds of miles. A half a tank of gas can easily get you to a safe location that's tens of miles away. For more tips, visit halfwayfullhalfwaydare.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing? These are words you hear a lot about. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 10:30. Join me, Tasca King. I'll show you how to navigate the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. This morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
This is a big one. I'm dying. You hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you, honey.
Got no reason for the things I fear, the things that plague me when I see and hear. Dime's a nickel and a nickel's none. I'll throw myself into the Sunday sun. A summer Sunday when you win.
Good morning, 5:54, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Storms have entirely vacated our area except for out in the Gulf. And, you know, it's all like Panama City area. It's Okaloosa County. Walton County is getting pretty heavy right now. But our area is pretty clean. Escambia and Santa Rosa, in case you're wondering. And then there's a storm coming out of, like, North Louisiana, Southern Arkansas that looks fairly concerning that is, I mean, it's pretty much aimed right at us. Could be a little bit to our south, so we'll kind of track that throughout the day. The back end of the – lots of lightning in this storm on the News Radio ThreatNet radar. On the back end of it shows rotation. So that's the later on today concern. In addition to the heat all day, heat index pushing over 100 just like the last couple of days. Man, we went for a walk last night at like 9 o'clock. We get home dripping wet and like,
oh, no.
Oh. Happy Florida. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Secretary of State Antony Blinken chiming in over the events in Russia over the weekend. He says the short-lived rebellion shows real cracks within the nation over its war in Ukraine. He was on CBS's Face the Nation. He said the Kremlin went from expecting an easy takeover of Ukraine 16 months ago to defending Moscow against the Wagner Group. Is it Wagner or Wagner?
Wagner.
Wagner. That's,
I don't know. I mean, you know, ask them, but that's how I heard it said a lot yesterday. If it's German, it's Wagner. If it's English, it's Wagner. I don't know. So,
well, there we have it.
I'm going to go with Wagner.
The penalty phase in the Pittsburgh synagogue shooter trial begins today. Earlier this month, a jury found Robert Bowers guilty on all counts in the 2018 mass shooting at the Tree of Life synagogue. Legal experts expect the jury will find him eligible for the death penalty. And Southwest Airlines now has reached a tentative deal with the union that represents their mechanics and aircraft inspectors. The agreement was announced Friday, still has to be approved by about 2,800 workers.
All right, David. Are you old enough to remember the $6 million man?
Vaguely.
Okay. Are you old enough to remember the bionic woman?
I mean, I am.
Her name was not Lindsay Wagner.
Lindsay Wagner, that's right, that's right.
Dave, thanks so much for the update. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Oh, this is just kind of one of those, like, the what? So, you know, we talk sometimes about strange things going on in the classrooms, and this is one where it's more of a just head-scratcher than anything else. It's not a, you know, it's not a lurid story. It's not a, you know, James Calkins getting worked up about porn that's already illegal being in the class, you know, whatever. This is a report. The New York Post had a story that teachers in Switzerland are complaining about a new trend for the students in their classes, wearing diapers to class, which, you know, kids there go to pre-K, so 4 years old.
Oh,
that's a little late. I mean, it's a little late, you know. I mean, obviously kids ought to be probably, you know, taking care of their own business around the age of two or so. But or early, and some do it early. I mean, some people do it really early, but okay. But in this particular case, they've got kids as old as 11 showing up to school in the sixth grade.
In diapers?
In diapers, yeah. Kids wearing diapers in school has skyrocketed, according to child development expert Rita Messmer in the story, in the, Sonntagszeitung. That's how I'm going to say it right there. Speaking of German pronunciations, revealing that she had an 11-year-old patient who was never taught how to use a toilet on her own. Child's lack of knowledge becomes a burden for teachers who have to assist with diapers with or putting training it on, or the sure. whatever, you know. So
well, I can't be comfortable for the kids either.
No, it's not
I
good.
I tried to wear one at a haunted house one. I thought it'd be jazzy, and it's the worst.
Yeah, no, it's not good. So just an FYI of, you know, things in the world that are out there. Oh, also, recent story about Friends, the TV show, that there's not one but actually two different episodes where the stand-in for Jennifer Aniston in a scene where she's not actually talking mm-hmm. wound up in the final cut. So they pan across the scene and like Jennifer Aniston says something and then they kind of pan back and there's this woman, you're like, who is that?
That's awesome.
And it's just like a half of her face or whatever. Right. But you know, when they didn't need her on the set that moment, or she wasn't available. And so they were doing the scene without her. And of course, if you don't show her in the camera,
yeah, sure.
It doesn't matter. And but no, sure enough, the one with the sharks was one when Monica and Rachel are at the table in Monica's apartment before Joey walks in and joins them. And there's another one, the one with the mugging, where she just kind of got replaced briefly, momentarily, and there you go. So, wow. You know, this is the
that
kind of stuff
cool.
that people who have seen these like 50 times each, you know, like, oh, what did I see? Sure enough, there you go. Confirmed, you're not crazy. It's just bad editing. Listen.